It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Well, here you are on Swap Shop, right? All right. Looking forward to a calm Swap Shop. I'm not expecting a whole lot of calls because our COVID has gone through the ceiling here in Ohio. And I know that not a lot of people are wanting to get out and about meet other people to swap stuff. But if you're interested in letting us know about an event, or if you have something that you want to get sold, you're more than welcome to give me a call here at Swap Shop, 740-383-9944. I'm Glenn Coble, and we'll be taking your calls for the next 45 minutes. And we do have a couple of things that were sent in to us to announce, and I'm going to announce them right now. There's a free Thanksgiving Day meal available on the 26th, and it's open to the public. It's a carryout thing only, though, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's by Dayspring Wesleyan Church, which is at 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. That's right across there from Menards. Anyway, and they're also doing pre-ordered stuff. Matter of fact, it says must be pre-ordered by Tuesday, November 24th. To pre-order, call 740-389-3684. I'll give you that again here. But also, they're doing home delivery in the Marion area between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. In case you don't have any transportation. But call 740-389-3684 for a free Thanksgiving Day meal from Dayspring Wesleyan Church. There's also a free food bank at Richland Road Church of Christ, and that's at 538 Richland Road in Marion. The food giveaway is Saturday morning, this coming Saturday, on the 21st at 9 a.m. The parking lot will be open to 8 o'clock. So if you'd like to get some food for your celebration, and we're all struggling right now. Lots of us don't have work during this COVID mess. And lots of us don't have money during this COVID mess. Maybe that one of those two things can help you out. I hope so. You'll have to excuse me. I'm sucking on a mentholiptus thing so that I can breathe. I'm all stopped up. I have a cold. No, it's not COVID. It's just a cold that stops up my nose and makes me have a little cough just about every year at this time. That's why I'm pretty sure it's not the COVID thing, right? Today, during Swap Shop, oh, and by the way, if you are interested in selling anything or, you know, giving information about like a church bazaar or something like that, which they'll be starting pretty soon, won't they? With Thanksgiving just a week from today, the church bazaars are right around the corner. One of my favorite times of the year. I love church bazaars. I'm sure it has to do with my memories being a preacher's kid at the Methodist Church and going to all those bazaars. Anyway, today I'm going to try, if I can get through it, I'm going to try to read a couple of stories for the youngsters in the house. Actually, it's for everybody about Thanksgiving. And they're kind of inspirational and funny and sweet. And we'll do these two stories. And then we'll see what we have time for. We actually have three different things I can read, one of which is a way of explaining to young people how Thanksgiving came about. So kind of depends on time and if we have people calling in. And if we don't, we won't mind that. We'll just keep on reading. What do you think about that? The first story is Mr. Pancake Turkey. Early one morning, Farmer Francis set out to feed his turkeys. He was the owner of a tiny little turkey farm in Burlington, Ontario. He was the poorest man in all of the land, but he was happy. He had lots of work to do every day, and most importantly, he had to feed his turkeys. When he walked into this tiny little barn, he noticed something very strange. One of his turkeys was as flat as a pancake. He thought that perhaps the other turkeys were stealing his food. So Farmer Francis put the flat turkey into a separate room so that he could eat by himself. The next day, Farmer Francis set out again to feed his turkeys. When he arrived to the barn, he noticed that the flat turkey was even flatter. He was still as flat as a pancake. "I'm going to call you Mr. Pancake Turkey," said Farmer Francis to the flat turkey. "But I'm also going to make sure you all get all plumped up and are ready for Thanksgiving." "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis placed twice as much feed in Mr. Pancake Turkey's feeder and set out to take care of the other turkeys. The next day, Farmer Francis set out again to feed his turkeys. He went to check on Mr. Pancake Turkey to see if he had gained any weight. To Farmer Francis's dismay, Mr. Pancake Turkey was still flat. "But all the food was gone. Why aren't you getting plump?" Farmer Francis said, frustrated. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis decided to take Mr. Pancake Turkey to the doctor. "Mr. Turkey won't get plump. Can you help?" pleaded the Farmer Francis to the doctor. "Well," replied the doctor, "there is one thing you can do. You can eat with your turkey to make sure he's eating all of his food." "Good idea," replied Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. That evening, Mr. Farmer Francis brought Mr. Pancake Turkey inside his house to eat with him and his wife. "What on earth are you doing bringing a turkey into the dining room?" bellowed Mrs. Farmer Francis. "I need to make sure that he eats and will be plump for Thanksgiving," says Farmer Francis. "He's too flat." "He looks as flat as a pancake," said Mrs. Farmer Francis. "Yes, he does," replied Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Mr. Pancake Turkey ate everything that Mrs. Farmer Francis and Farmer Francis fed to him. He ate baked beans, broccoli, carrots, squash, corn on the cob, and mashed potatoes. And he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. But he still didn't get any plumper. Not one bit. "What am I going to do with you?" asked Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis thought he should take Mr. Pancake Turkey to the zoo. He didn't have any other animals on his tiny farm and figured he could show him how the other animals lived. he thought he would show him the fattest and plumpest animals, hoping that this would inspire Mr. Pancake Turkey. He showed him the hippos, the elephants, the pigs, and the largest bird in all the land, the ostrich. "You need to get nice and big like these animals," demanded Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Mr. Pancake Turkey still didn't get any bigger, so Farmer Francis decided to take him to the pumpkin pie eating contest. They would all watch the contestants and how much they ate and how much pumpkin pie as they could stuff in themselves. And the person who eats the most would win a trophy. The biggest man in all the land was there, and he ate 15 pumpkin pies. "You need to eat like him," said Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," said Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis simply couldn't win. Mr. Pancake Turkey just wouldn't get any bigger. He didn't know what to do. "Why don't you take him to the circus?" suggested Mrs. Farmer Francis one day. "No one has ever seen a flat turkey before." Farmer Francis thought it was a great idea and decided to take Mr. Pancake Turkey to the circus. Everyone was amazed to see how strange that turkey was, and peculiar-looking turkey he was. And it wasn't long before word got out, and people started coming from all over the country to see Farmer Francis's special turkey. He became the most famous man in all of the land. "I'm going to be rich," chanted Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis made so much money that he decided to sell his farm and all of his turkeys. He began traveling around the country, showing everyone how special his flat turkey was. He bought himself a new truck, an airplane, and a boat so that he could go anywhere he pleased. It wasn't long before Farmer Francis was the wealthiest man in the land. He bought a mansion for Mrs. Farmer Francis and a big barn just for his flat turkey. He had everything he could have possibly dreamed. "I have everything I could ever imagine." "Yes, I do," said Mrs. Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. But it wasn't long before people started growing bored of seeing a flat turkey. Farmer Francis tried desperately to put him on TV shows, or in the movies, or in commercials, but to no avail. He soon had to sell his truck, his airplane, and his boat. He could no longer afford to live in the big mansion, so he had to sell that too. He even had to get rid of the big barn. Farmer Francis had nothing. "What am I going to do?" cried Farmer Francis. "I don't know," said Mrs. Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobbles," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Farmer Francis realized that he had gotten too greedy. He tried to be somebody that he was not. He tried to turn Mr. Pancake Turkey into somebody he was not either. He was a farmer, and that's what he knew how to be. He decided to go back to his little turkey farm and try to start over again. Farmer Francis didn't need to make Mr. Pancake Turkey plump, and he didn't need to make a lot of money. He just needed to be happy, and being a turkey farmer was what he knew best, and that made him happy. By Thanksgiving Day, Farmer Francis owned his farm again, and instead of having turkey for dinner, he decided to have all the turkeys over for Thanksgiving dinner. "This is the best Thanksgiving ever," said Farmer Francis. "Yes, it is," replied Mrs. Farmer Francis. "Gobble, gobble," replied Mr. Pancake Turkey. Oh, my. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of that. It's kind of a silly story, but I thought the kids might like that little story about Pancake Turkey. Now, the mental picture of seeing a pancake-shaped turkey was not something that that I thought was a really good idea. But anyway, I read it for the kids, and that's all I'm going to say. All right, I've got another one that I'm going to read, and if we have lots of time, I will read the origin of Thanksgiving for the kids. The next one is called Bert's Thanksgiving, and I'll read that here in a moment. I did want to remind you, you're listening to WWGH 107.1 here in Marion, Ohio. I'm Glenn Coble. The show is Swap Shop. We're not swapping a lot today, but if you do have something you want to swap or sell, don't forget, it can't be something that requires a license or a registration or anything like that. So you can't sell your house on Swap Shop, or your car for that matter, or several other things that require, you know, legal stuff. But if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. I hope you're enjoying our little stories that I'm reading here. This next one's a little bit longer and a little bit more serious. Bert's Thanksgiving, and I think I've got time enough to read it. So we're going to get started. At noon on a dreary November day, a lonesome little fellow stood at the door of a cheap restaurant in Boston and offered a solitary copy of a morning paper for sale to the people passing. But there weren't really many people passing, for it was Thanksgiving, and the shops were closed, and everybody had gone home to have dinner and eat. Everybody had gone home. An old man with a face that looked like it had been pinched, and who was dressed in a seedy black coat, stopped at the same doorway, and with one hand on the latch, he appeared to hesitate between hunger and a sense of poverty before going in. It was possible, however, that he was considering whether he could afford himself the indulgence of a morning paper, seeing it was Thanksgiving Day. So at least Bert thought, and addressed him accordingly. "Buy a paper, sir? All about the fire in East Boston and the arrest of burglars in Springfield. Only 2 cents." The little old man looked at the boy with keen gray eyes, which seemed to light up with a pinched look on his face, and answered in a shrill voice, "You ought to come down on your price. This time of the day, you can expect to sell a morning paper at 12 o'clock for full price." "Well, give me a cent then," said Bert. "That's less than the cost, but never mind. I'm bound to sell out anyhow." "You look cold," said the old man. "Cold," replied Bert. "I'm nearly frozen, and I want my dinner. And I'm going to have a big dinner, too, seeing that it's Thanksgiving Day." "Ah, lucky for you, my boy," said the old man. You've a home to go to, and friends to, I hope." "No, sir, no home, no friends, only my mother. It's more lonesome not to eat with all," said the old man, his gray eyes twinkling. "Here, I guess I can find 1 cent for you, though there's nothing in the paper, I know." The old man spoke with some feeling. His fingers trembled, and somehow he dropped 2 cents instead of one into Bert's hand. "Here, you've made a mistake," cried Bert. "A bargain, a bargain. You've given me a cent too much." "No, I didn't. I never give anybody a cent too much. But see here," said Bert, showed the 2 cents, offering to return one. "No matter," said the old man. "It will be so much less for my dinner, that's all." Bert had instinctively pocketed the pennies. But he felt bad. Poor old man, he thought. He's seen better days, I guess. Perhaps he has no home. A boy like me can stand it, but I guess it must be hard for him. He meant to give me 2 cents the whole time, and I don't believe that he had a decent dinner for many days. "Look here," he cried. "Here, are you going to get your dinner today?" "I can get a bite here and there, as well as any." I don't matter much. It doesn't matter much to me, replied the old man. I'll pay for your dinner, Bert exclaimed. Come, we don't have a Thanksgiving but once a year, and a fellow wants a good time then. Ah, said the man, taking it off his hat and giving it a brush with his elbow as they entered the restaurant, as if trying to appear as respectable as he could. He placed his hat on the floor and took a seat opposite Bert at a little table which had been put there by themselves. Bert offered him a menu. I must ask you to choose for me, noting very extravagant. There were nothing very extravagant. You know, I am used to plain food. So am I, but I'm going to have a dinner for once in my life, and so are you, cried Bert, generously. What do you say to chicken soup and end up with a big piece of pumpkin pie? How's that for a Thanksgiving dinner? Scrumptious, said the old man, appearing to glow with warmth of the room and the prospect of a good dinner. But won't it cost too much?
Too much? No, sir, said Bert. Chicken soup, 15 cents. Pie, they'll give tremendously big pieces here, and they're thick, and I tell you, it's only 10 cents. That's 25 cents. Half a dollar for two? Of course. I don't eat this way every day of the year. Here, waiter, said Bert, and he gave his princely order as if he did it every day. Where's your mother? Why don't you have dinner for her? The little man asked.
Bert's face grew sober in a moment. That's the question. Why don't I? I'll tell you why I don't. I've got the best mother in the world. What I want more than anything to be is with my mother and my two sisters again. And I'm not ashamed to say so. Bert's eyes grew very tender, and he went on, while his companion across the table watched him with very gentle, searching look. I haven't been with her now for 2 years. Hardly at all since Father died. Mom couldn't support my sister, and so I said, I'm a boy. I can do something to help. I'll go to work, and maybe give you a little bit to take care of myself and take care of you. What could you do? Said the little old man. That's it. I was only 11 years old, and what could I do? So I started selling newspapers. I've sold newspapers ever since, and I shall be 12 on my next month. You like it? Said the old man. It's okay to help you make my own living, replied Bert proudly. But what I want is to learn a trade or a regular business and settle down and make a home for my mother. But there's no use talking about it, that. Well, I've told you about myself, added Bert. Now suppose you tell me something.
About myself, he said?
Yes, I think that would go pretty well with the pie. But the man shook his head. Life isn't what we think it is, and what it'll be when we are young. You find out soon enough. I am all alone in the world, and I'm nearly 70 years old. It must be so lonely at your age. What do you do for a living?
I have a little place in Devonshire Street. My name is Mr. Crooker.
You find me up two flights of stairs in the back room on the right. Come and see me. I'll tell you all about my business and perhaps help you to get a better job. And for I know several businessmen. And Mr. Crooker wrote his address with a little stub of a pencil on the corner of a newspaper which had led to their acquaintanceship, tore it off, and carefully gave it to Bert.
Well, Bert, said the old man, I'm glad to make your acquaintance, and I hope you'll come and see me. You'll find me a very humble quarters.
Now, won't you let me pay for the dinner? I believe I have enough money. Let me see, and he put his hand into his pocket. Bert could not hear of such a thing, but walked up to the desk and paid for the whole bill. When he looked around, the little old man was gone.
I'll go see him for the first chance I have, said Bert, as he looked at the penciled strip of paper again, and he put it into his pocket. On the following Monday, Bert went to call on his new friend at Devonshire Street. Having climbed the two flights, he found the door of the back room at the right ajar, and the door was right ajar, and looking in, saw Mr. Crooker at the desk in the act of receiving a roll of money from a well-dressed visitor. Bert entered the unnoticed and waited till the money was counted and receipt signed. Then, as the visitor departed, Mr. Crooker noticed the boy, offered him a chair, and then turned to place the money in the safe. "So this is your place of business," says Bert, glancing around the plain office room. "What do you do here?" "I buy real estate sometimes, sell, rent, and so forth." "Who for?" asked Bert. "For myself," said the old gentleman with a smile. Bert was shocked. This man, whom he had invited to dinner last Thursday, I thought you were a poor man." "I am a poor man," said Mr. Crooker, locking his safe. "Money doesn't make a man rich. I've enough money. I own houses in the city. They give me something to think about and keep me busy. I had truer riches once, but I lost them long ago." From the way the old man's voice trembled and his eyes glistened, Bert thought he must have meant by riches the friends he had lost, the wife and children, perhaps. "To think of me inviting you to dinner." It was cold, and it was odd, but it may turn out to have been the luckiest circumstance for both of us. "I like you. I believe in you, and I've an offer to make you. I want a trusty, bright boy in this office, somebody I can bring up in my business and leave it with. As I get old to run for myself, when do you say, or what do you say?" What could Bert say? The loneliest, childless old man who owned so many houses, wanted a home and a family. One of his houses he offered to Bert's mother, with ample support for her and children if she would allow him to live with them like a grandfather. Of course she accepted, and Bert soon saw all his dreams come true. He had employment, which promised to become profitable business, as indeed it did a few years. The old man and the boy proved very useful to each other, and more than that, he was united once more with his mother and sisters in a happy home, where he has since had many Thanksgiving dinners. Nice ending for that story. I hope it made you feel a little bit more Thanksgiving and warm. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's an interesting time of year. A lot of people tend to get sorrowful during Thanksgiving. I don't know why that is. I always think of my kids and my grandkids. Now, this year we can't go see them because of this virus that's out there. And I feel bad for people whose lives depend on that. There are people that that's everything to them in the world. And my kids and grandchildren are very, very, very important to me. But my wife and I can see them now. The nice thing about the new phones, we can call them up and put them on FaceTime, and we can see them all, and we can talk to them. As a matter of fact, my daughter calls just about every day, and my wife puts it on speakerphone, and we can talk like she's right there in the room with us, even though she's 535 miles away. And I know that exactly because I've driven it several times out to North Carolina. Well, let me read the last story, and it's not really a story. It's the origin of Thanksgiving, and it might help the youngsters in your family understand why we even have a Thanksgiving. What happened that created the first Thanksgiving? After landing in Plymouth, the Pilgrims had to struggle to survive through their first wretched and miserable winter in Massachusetts. When spring and summer came, it was a welcome relief. They learned so many things that first year. They had planted and cared for their first fields of corn. They had found wild strawberries in the meadows, raspberries on the hillsides, and wild grapes in the shallow waters of the bay. Found the grapes in the woods. In the forest just back of the village, wild turkeys and deers were easily shot. In the shallow waters of the bay, there was plenty of fish, clams, and lobsters. The summer had been warm, with a good deal of rain and much sunshine, and so when autumn came, there was a fine crop of corn. They wanted to celebrate and give thanks to God for all that he had provided them. "Let us gather the fruits of our first labors and rejoice together," said Governor Bradford. "Yes," said Elder Brewster, "let us take a day upon which we can many of us thank God for all of our blessings and invite our Indian friends who have been so kind to us." The great Indian chief, Massasoit, came with 90 of his bravest warriors, all dressed in deerskins, feathers, and foxtails, with their face smeared with red, white, and yellow paint. Now there were only 11 buildings in the whole village, 4 log storehouses, and 7 little log houses, so the Indian guests ate and slept outside. This was no problem, though, for it was one of those warm weeks in the season we call Indian summer. To supply meat for the occasion, 4 men had already been sent out to hunt wild turkeys. They killed enough in one day to last the whole company almost a week. Massasoit helped the feast along by sending some of his best hunters into the woods. They killed 5 deer, and they gave their pale-faced friends all that they might have ever hoped to eat. Under the trees were built long, simple tables on which were piled baked clams, broiled fish, roast turkey, and deer meat. The young Pilgrim women helped serve the food to the hungry Indians. One was Mary Chilton, who leapt from the boat at Plymouth Rock. The other was Mary Allerton. She lived for 78 years after this Thanksgiving. And of those who came over in the Mayflower, she was the last to pass away. What a merry time everybody had during the week. Young John Howland was there. While they were sailing in the mid-ocean, he fell overboard, but was quick enough to catch a hold of a trailing rope. Perhaps after dinner, he invited Elizabeth Tilly, whom he afterward married, to sail over to Clark's Island and return by moonlight. With them, went John Alden and Priscilla Mullins, whose love story is so sweetly told by Longfellow. One proud mother, we may be sure, showed her bright-eyed boy, Peregrine White, who was the first baby born in Plymouth, and by the way, happens to be supposedly a relative of mine. And so the fun went on. In the daytime, the young men ran races, played games, and had a shooting match. Every night, the Indians sang and danced for their friends. And to make things still more lively, they gave every now and then a shrill of a war whoop that made the woods echo in the still night air. The Indians had already learned to love and fear Captain Miles Standish. Some of them called him Boiling Water because he was easily made angry. Others called him Captain Shrimp on account that, of his size. During this week of fun and frolic, it was a wonder if young Jack Billington did not play some prank on the Indians. He was a boy who fired off his father's gun one day, close to a keg of gunpowder in the crowded cabin on the Mayflower. Yikes. After the third day, the Indian king and his warrior said farewell to the English friends and began their long tramp through the woods to their wigwams in Mount Hope Bay. On the last day of this Thanksgiving party, the pilgrims had a service of prayers and praise. Elder Brewster preached the first Thanksgiving sermon. After thanking God for his goodness, he did not forget the many loved ones buried on the hillside. He spoke of the noble John Carver, the first governor who had died of worry and overwork. Nor was Rose Standish forgotten, the lovely young wife of Captain Miles Standish, whose death was caused by cold and lack of good food. And then there was the gentle Dorothy, wife of Governor Branford, who had fallen overboard from the Mayflower in Providencetown Harbor. The first Thanksgiving took place nearly 300 years ago. Since that time, in 1621, almost without interruption, Thanksgiving has been kept as a day to be thankful for all God has given us, whether in good times or in bad times. At this time, children and grandchildren return home and long tables are spread, and brothers and sisters, separate by many miles, again sit side by side. Today, Thanksgiving is observed in the United States as a season of sweet and blessed memories of that first Thanksgiving. That's kind of a romanticized view of the first Thanksgiving. There was a lot of hardship back in those days. It was kind of interesting to see that they mentioned that young man who supposedly was a relative of mine, a young Master White, I think. Yeah, Peregrine White. Supposedly, you know, every family has its lore, folklore that comes down, and one of our family folklore tales is about that young man being one of our relatives. Now, I do have an aunt who worked very hard. She's not, I think she's a great aunt or something along that line. She's not. She's passed away now, but she took it upon herself to become a daughter of the Mayflower, which is, I guess, an honor. And she did become a daughter of a Mayflower. And somehow or other, it's like being a son of the Revolution or something like that. You have to prove with you know, documentation that you came from a relative off of the Mayflower, and she did. So apparently the tale is true, or at least it's partially true, that Peregrine White was a former relative of mine a long, long time ago, 1620-ish in that time. And I don't know. I'm not going to hang my hat on it. And I don't think I can make any money off of it. So I'll just enjoy the folklore of my family. I have all sorts of folklore. John Wilkes Booth supposedly is a relative of ours. I know for a fact that President Nixon is a relative of ours because he was... I think he was related to, oh, now I can't remember their names, the Mendenhaus. Anyway, we have proof that we're related to Nixon. I'm not sure that that's something I want to be too proud of, but, you know, we talked about that, I think, with Dr. Feynman, that I think it was Dr. Feynman, said that Nixon, with the exception of his terrible situation with the Watergate situation, he was a pretty good president, at least as far as international affairs went. And he was just a very paranoid gentleman and
Thought everybody was out to get him, I guess. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today. We obviously didn't get any calls for swapping. But don't forget, they're giving that free Thanksgiving Day meal. You can carry it out from the Dayspring Wesleyan Church, which is at 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. And it says you can pick it up between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. It must be pre-ordered by Tuesday, which is not very far from now. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will not be on the air on Thanksgiving, so I will miss you next Thursday. There's also a free food bank at the Richland Road Church of Christ, which is at 535 Richland Road in Marion. And the food giveaway is this coming Saturday morning, November 21st, at 9 a.m., and the parking lot will open at 8 a.m., so you can get a head start on the whole thing. And I hope that you and your family, with all the troubles that we have right now, and we have several, with this COVID thing going on, I hope you stay safe, wear your mask, keep distance, but I hope you have an opportunity to at least by phone, any one of the communication devices that we now have, I hope you're able to say hi to the rest of your family, and I hope you have a wonderful time. Where my wife and I live only a block away from my wife's sister, we are kind of in our own little bubble. She never goes out. My wife never goes out. I'm the only person in our family that goes anywhere. And apparently I'm okay. So I do have a bad cold, but I'm okay. And I hope you will tune in next Wednesday when we will have A Progressive Life. And also our show on Wednesday morning, Scott and myself, we'll be on the air with On the Air. That's the name of the show. And I hope you join us. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and next week. And I hope you have a wonderful week between now and then.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the talking